The New York Giants currently have just $5 million in salary cap space, and free agency starts in less than 1 month. And the Giants, they have a lot of holes to fill in this roster. They have some very interesting players about to hit free agency. What are they going to do? How can they afford these guys? How are they going to create some salary cap space? Well, we're going to go ahead and discuss some of the cut candidates in today's episode, restructure candidates, and other maneuvers that the Giants can make in order to clear some cap space and set themselves up to have a great free agency period. Another important detail to note as we get closer and closer to free agency, first and foremost, tons of great content coming your way, breakdowns, player profiles, previews, all of that stuff. But this is expected to be a trade-heavy offseason, according to Adam Schefter of ESPN and Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. Both of them are reporting that teams around the NFL are positioning themselves to be active traders as soon as the new league year starts. Why? Well, they feel as though a lot of the talents that are expected to hit the open market won't. They think a lot of homegrown talents will get extended, and they feel as though the top end talent on the market this offseason is not all that exciting. So expect the NFL to make a lot of trades next month, and that definitely could include the New York Giants, who have made some trades at the start of the new league year under Joe Shane's reign over the last several years. So the Giants, will they be making a trade? Is that one of the ways that they could be clearing up some cap space? We will definitely discuss that as we go through some of the moves that they can make over the course of the next month. So I'm Anthony Rivardo. This is Fireside Giants, and that's my co-host, Alex Wilson. Alex, how are you doing today, my friend? And how excited are you 1 month away until free agency?
I'm pretty excited, man. Listen, the Giants have a lot to do. We're looking at this roster. We're going to break it down for you in this episode. I know you guys love when we do the whole cap breakdowns and kind of projections and look at what players are good fits, if not good fits, and everything in between. I do generally think this roster is going to look a lot different in like 2 months, and you know, after the draft even more so. John Harbaugh is going to pick things apart. What you see today is not going to be what you see when, you know, camp rolls around this summer. But Anthony, you know, we can dive into where the Giants can create money. And to kind of preface this entire segment here, the Giants at the moment only have $5.14 million in cap space. That means they basically can't do anything. In fact, if you want to bake in their draft class, they're in the negative right now. What we're going to talk about is how they can free up really a lot of money and where they can kind of allocate that money, where we think it'll be moved to, and whether or not we agree. Anthony and I have some differing opinions on specific players, whether or not we should cut them or not, and really what their savings are, because the cap space is really what we want to look at and where we can allocate it to replace them or invest in other weak points on this roster, Anthony. But you know, why don't you kick us off with the first guy on your list, someone that can save us a little bit of change?
Yeah, I think when you're looking at the Giants' salary cap and the moves that they can make, number one, first and foremost, the guy that I'm cutting, if I'm Joe Shane and John Harbaugh, Alex, it's James Hudson, right? I mean, the guy was unplayable this past season. When he did play, he was awful. He held the team back. He had maybe the worst drive that I've ever seen from a single player in NFL history. So don't want to really see James Hudson back on this roster next season. The Giants can save around $5 to $6 million in salary cap space this year by cutting James Hudson. I know, Alex, that's a no-brainer, isn't it?
James Hudson was one of the worst players I've ever laid eyes on, just based on that one Cowboys just ridiculous performance that we saw. Was it 5 penalties in one drive? He never touched the field again after that. And the craziest thing is, like, we see other players do dumb stuff all the time, and like, they didn't even bench them. Deontay Banks is one of those guys. Would not even try half the time. But you know, you look at James Hudson, this is the easiest decision. $5.38 million you're saving. It's a little bit of dead money, whatever. Get him off my team, save the money, reallocate that. That pays for Greg Van Roten. Retention of him, who can start at right guard if you need to, is a good swing option, can play center in a pinch. You know, you're able to retain him and probably bring in another low-cost depth piece that has competitive blood in their veins. Like, that's what I'm looking for with that money. But $5.4 million, about easiest money I'm ever going to save. Anthony, who's the next guy on the list?
How about Graham Gano? Graham Gano did not play much last year. He's been dealing with injuries over the last several seasons, and he hasn't been playing much. And when he has played, he really hasn't been the player of old, not the Graham Gano of old. The New York Giants can cut Graham Gano this offseason for $4.5 million. Again, Alex, I feel like this is a no-brainer. You get younger at this position. You get a guy who's available. Sometimes the best ability, what's the classic phrase? The best ability is availability. Graham Gano has not been available enough to justify his price tag. I'm taking the $4.5 million in cap savings.
Low key, I kind of liked what I saw from Ben Sauls too at the end of the season. He looked pretty good. I would obviously love to bring in some competition, but there's no reason to overpay on kickers right now. You get a kicker, you pay him $4 or $5 million. You can do with Gano, he gets hurt, he doesn't play. Unless it's like one of those elite guys, it's not worth paying up for somebody. So, you know, I like the idea of having a competition during camp. I really liked what I saw from Sauls. You know, you never know when you're going to find the next guy. Keep just running the gauntlet. Keep going until you find someone that is really good and cheap. Sauls could be that guy. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, that's a nice, pretty penny to save. Already, we're close to $10 million in cap savings with two guys that are pretty much guaranteed to be released. That pays for your draft class, right? So right now we have about $5 million left over for the season, and we've already paid for our draft class by cutting Graham Gano and James Hudson. So I feel pretty good about where we are in terms of cap space right now. But let's dive into a couple more. I know there's a couple more options to create some more availability.
Yeah, there are. There's some big-time cut candidates at the top. Let's go with one that's a little bit more debatable, Alex. Let's discuss Bobby Okereke. Now, Bobby Okereke is an interesting player because a lot of Giants fans have become very critical of Bobby Okereke, saying that he hasn't lived up to the expectations over the last couple of years, saying that he hasn't been the same player ever since Wink Martindale left town. Now, towards the end of this most recent season, he started to play better. He was forcing some turnovers and he was having some big moments. And I thought that Bobby Okereke looked like he was turning a corner once Charlie Bullen became the new interim defensive coordinator. However, Bobby Okereke can be released this offseason for $9 million in salary cap savings. Is he worth the price tag? His cap hit going into 2026 is $14.4 million. That's a lot of money for Bobby Okereke, a player who has been largely inconsistent. Now, I really like Bobby Okereke. He's a captain. He's a leader. He's a really good guy. We've interviewed him on the channel. I have a lot of appreciation for him as a human being because I think he's a great dude. However, he has been inconsistent. But the reason why I think this is a tougher decision than it might look like to some Giants fans is because if not Bobby Okereke, then who? Michael McFadden is an impending free agent. Are the Giants going to be able to extend him? Who knows? And then behind Okereke, you have nothing. Darius Mouassau is not, in my opinion, a future starter on this defense. Maybe on special teams, but not on this defense. And I don't see any other worthwhile linebacker talent currently on this roster. So if you're talking about cutting Bobby Okereke, you're talking about creating a massive void in the middle of the defense. But Alex, I want to hear your take on it. Bobby Okereke, $14 million cap hit is pretty steep for him. But is he really worth letting go of for the $9 million in cap savings and creating a much larger hole in the middle of your defense?
Look, there's a lot of risk-reward to cutting Okereke, right? He has regressed since that first really encouraging season. He's going to be 30 years old. However, he is borderline a captain on this team. Like, you know, maybe not in actual badge, but certainly in demeanor and certainly in the locker room. He's well-respected. He plays through injury. He shows up every single week. He was really kind of all over the place in Shane Bowen's defense, as most people were. That nobody really looked good in Bowen's defense. I think that when it comes to Okereke, the question is the savings. What can you do with it? Can you get a player equal value but younger? That's where I think that you had an idea. I know yesterday you were saying on the Giants Collective YouTube channel, you were talking about Leo Chanel. What do you think about that? Like, if you're looking at Bobby Okereke, I get why they would cut him. The savings make a lot of sense. Could you replace him with a player that's younger and has similar value, if not higher upside? Linebackers are not that expensive. That's the thing. You could probably get a decent linebacker that is equal to, if not greater than Okereke and younger for probably relatively the same price.
Yeah, this is actually a pretty solid offseason to need a linebacker. So you've got guys like Leo Chanel, who you mentioned. Nakobe Dean is also a free agent. There's quite a few free agent linebackers that make a lot of sense for the Giants. Devin Bush as well is another name that you could throw out there. And even if you want to look at some more veteran players, Alex Anzalone from the Detroit Lions is a pretty interesting guy as well. Jermaine Pratt, he's with the Raiders. He was really good with the Bengals a couple seasons ago. So there are some pretty good linebackers hitting the open market. And this is considered to be a very solid inside linebacker draft class. There's some obvious names and talents at the top, like Sonny Styles, who could be in consideration for the Giants with the number 5 overall pick, the Ohio State linebacker. There's also the other Ohio State linebacker, Arvell Reese, who's probably going top 2 in this draft and is probably more of an edge rusher. But nevertheless, as you do get into the middle rounds, there are some players that could start at linebacker in the NFL in this year's draft class. For the first time in a long time, it feels like we have a linebacker draft class that is loaded with talent. So you could use that argument to potentially move on from Bobby Okereke, get younger at the position with any of those free agents that I mentioned. If you're talking about Chenault, he's only 25. Nakobe Dean, only 25. Devin Bush, only 27, will be 28 during this upcoming season. But meanwhile, Bobby Okereke, he's a little bit older. He's a veteran. You could potentially take those cap savings, move on from the 30-year-old, and get younger at the position. There's definitely an argument for that. But like I said, you can't really bank on that, in my opinion. I think it's too risky to move on from Okereke and not have a backup plan already in place, and the Giants simply don't have a backup plan in place on their roster at linebacker, so they would have to get a little bit creative. But let's go over to some of these other easier cut candidates. Alex, here's one that I think is pretty obvious. I'm going to single out Devin Singletary. Devin Singletary can be cut for $5.2 million in cap savings this offseason. I actually think Devin Singletary is a pretty good running back. He's a solid backup in this system. He looked really good at times last year, but let's face it, he's not the future star of this team. Tyrone Tracy Jr. is really good. He's young. Cam Scadaboo is the future star at the running back position for the New York Giants. Those guys are leading the backfield for the future. Devin Singletary is an obvious cut candidate for $5 million in savings.
100% agree. I like Singletary. He's a good player, like you mentioned. You know, hard runner. He moves the chains. He's good in the red zone. You can catch passes out of the backfield. I do think that, you know, when you actually look at Devin Singletary, the question is how much of a role is he going to have, right? Cam Scadaboo returns, Tyrone Tracy returns. If those two guys are healthy, he's not sniffing the field. I probably would just prefer to spend like a 6th-round pick on a bruising running back that can just pick up, you know, move the chains and stuff like that. So that's probably where I would opt. But, you know, you can save a nice pretty penny from Singletary. I think that they probably pull that trigger just because they need the money, and I think they would prefer to have a little bit more under their docket. $5.25 million. That pays. If you combine that amount with Graham Gano or, you know, anybody else that we reference that's in like that 3 to 5, James Hudson, you can go and get a good player. That's Jermaine Illuminor, right? Like Devin Singletary plus, you know, James Hudson's, that's Jermaine Illuminor's extension on a yearly basis. They don't think it's going to come in that high. They're thinking $10 to $12 million per season. You're already pretty much there. So I definitely feel as though right now, I'm pretty confident Devin Singletary is going to be cut just to save a couple bucks. Same with Jalin Hyatt. There's, you know, obviously there's like more minimum guys down the roster, but they'll be replaced by other minimum contracts. So we don't really want to, you know, reference those per se. But Jalin Hyatt's definitely gone. Obviously, Devin Singletary, you know, we talked about Bobby Okereke. I know there's one other guy though, Anthony, one other player that we...
I know you keep trying to team me up for this. I'm waiting on it. I'm not getting there yet. Just give me a second here. I don't want to talk about him yet. But as we go through the list, like there's more guys. I want to talk about one interesting one for you to give your take on. I gave my take on this on Giants Collective recently. This is John Michael Schmitz. Now, this is contingent. Are the Giants going to sign Tyler Linderbaum? Yesterday, guys, we broke down Tyler Linderbaum. If you did not see that episode, go ahead and check it out. And we discussed why the Giants could potentially sign Linderbaum and, of course, discussing the reports and rumors that they are heavily interested in signing Tyler Linderbaum. So if the Giants sign Tyler Linderbaum, what happens to John Michael Schmitz? John Michael Schmitz could potentially then be cut. Why? Because the Giants could go ahead and release John Michael Schmitz for $3.8 million in cap savings. So, Alex, if the Giants sign Tyler Linderbaum, do you think the Giants should hold on to John Michael Schmitz as backup slash depth, or should they take the $3.8 million in cap savings in order to pay Tyler Linderbaum?
I think you probably just hold on to JMS until you need to cut or trade him. I'd prefer to trade him, to be fair. I don't want to cut JMS. I think that trading him makes a lot more sense. I'd be trying to find a team that would like to take on the rest of his deal. It's such a small amount. I think a team would be interested in trading for him personally, but we'd have to wait and see. I think that would be the ideal. You just maybe get like a 5th-round pick back and they take his contract, which is so small. And then you get some value, but they also take on all the dead money. They're not, you know, you're not left with any dead money. So they take everything, and then you can allocate, you know, that draft capital to maybe, you know, drafting a high upside, you know, offensive lineman, or even, you know, going in replacing Devin Singletary with a late round running back too. There's many different ways you could allocate a late round draft pick, but then the money saved, yeah, you could take that and allocate it right to Tyler Linderbaum. You could allocate it anywhere. Really, it's just more, it's more money to throw into the pot. But if you're going to get Linderbaum, JMS becomes extra. He's never played any other position aside from center, so I don't really want to go into like the argument suggesting that he could play guard. I don't think that's realistic at this point right now, but I'd have to see what their plan is for him. I think they'd probably end up trading him most likely.
Yeah, I don't know if John Michael Schmitz is going to have a big market. We'll see. And I don't think that he's going to fit at guard, but I do think that he could be a quality depth piece at center. Tyler Linderbaum is very durable, so you don't really have to worry about that. It's not like you're signing an injury-prone player, but nevertheless, it's always good to have depth. You never know what can go wrong. So I do think that the Giants would just hold on to JMS for that reason. But if it's, you know, if JMS has the opportunity to fight for the starting job again this year, if they don't sign Tyler Linderbaum, he won't be a cut candidate. But I just figured it was worth bringing up because Tyler Linderbaum is such a hot name for Giants fans right now. So, Alex, let's discuss that guy that you keep trying to get me to discuss, the one with an $11.75 million cap hit. That is starting left guard John Runyon. John Runyon can be cut this offseason to save $9.25 million in cap space. And this is a worthwhile debate here because the Giants value continuity on the offensive line, but they're not going to get it. Let's look at it this way. Left tackle Andrew Thomas, he's a lock. Right guard Greg Van Roten, very likely to walk in free agency. If not, he's not a long-term piece anyway. He's 35 years old. Right tackle Jermaine Illuminor is an impending free agent. He could walk in free agency. You're probably bringing in a new center if you're signing Tyler Linderbaum. And then at left guard, you would just have the holdover of John Runyon, who at best is mid, is average. He's not a great player. He's good enough, but this is the argument for cutting John Runyon. With the over $9 million in salary cap space that you could save by cutting him, you could probably sign a player to upgrade over John Runyon just with that $9 million. It's actually a pretty solid market for guards in free agency this offseason. If you go through and you take a look at some of the veterans who are set to hit the market, whether you're talking about an Isaac Samalo from Pittsburgh, he's projected to sign a one-year, $8 million contract. He's a bit older, 32 years old, so he's not a long-term piece either, but he is a significantly better player than John Runyon. Or there's David Edwards at 28 years old, also a better player, projected to be on an $11 million contract per year, which is the same as John Runyon. I know, Alex, you really like Elijah Vera Tucker, taking a chance on him coming off of an injury. Joel Bitonio was with Mike Bloomgren, our offensive line coach, last year with the Cleveland Browns. Again, an older player, but definitely an upgrade. There is actually a pretty decent guard market this offseason. Or you could potentially slide Marcus Bowe into that starting left guard spot if you wanted to release John Runyon, take those cap savings, pay Jermaine Illuminor, and pay Tyler Linderbaum. That could be an option. So again, if the Giants keep John Runyon, I'm not upset. But if they release John Runyon, I'm also not upset because I do think there's room for improvement at left guard. And that is a lot of money to save against the cap, $9 million to move on from a veteran guard who's nearing 30. He's not 30 yet, but also he's good enough. I don't think that he's necessarily a guy that prevents you from trying to upgrade. And if releasing him to free up more money so you can sign a better guard and upgrade is the way to get there, I do think there's a good argument for it. But Alex, I know you might not completely agree. I think you like John Runyon, so let me hear your take on it.
Listen, John Runyon, if he saved, if it was an astronomical amount of money, I'd be like, okay, yeah, sure. But the reality is that $9 million, right? That's fine. You save that $9 million, but whatever player you replace him with, tack on $2.5 million to their contract, right? Because that's the dead money that you're paying John Runyon just not be on the team anymore. So whoever you sign is $2.5 million more expensive than you would have paid up for market value. Guards, good guards, always end up being paid more than expected. Runyon's deal is so nominal in the world of offensive linemen that it doesn't really matter, even if he's average. Average players get paid $10 million, even more than that, honestly. Average players get paid more than $10 million to be guards. I'd say that John Runyon's an average-level player, but most importantly, you need to have some sense of stability, right? I think that he's been a good piece for us. He doesn't complain, does his thing. He's been healthy. He shows up. He's available. And he has chemistry with Andrew Thomas. He just played his first full season together with Andrew Thomas. And now we're going to take the left guard and change it, potentially change Linderbaum as well. And you're going to have a whole new offensive line that Jackson Dart has zero chemistry with. I think you have to keep at least some stability. You know, Andrew Thomas, John Runyon, Jermaine Illuminor, those three guys I think stay the same. I think you go get Tyler Linderbaum, you upgrade your run support. He's a better pass. I know people, oh, he's not a good pass protector. Even if he's not a good pass protector, he's a better pass protector than John Michael Schmitz. And he's a significantly better run blocker than John Michael Schmitz. So you are upgrading substantially at that position, but you still have the stability of three guys that, you know, I think you can still bring back Illuminor on a nominal deal. You still have Runyon and you still have Andrew Thomas and you have a sense of stability. You have your core in the offensive line. You can feel comfortable with that. You could find a competitive balance at right guard if you, you know, bring back Reg Van Roan on a really cheap deal, maybe draft a mid-round guy, maybe even have Marcus Bowe compete at multiple spots. You know, who knows how the offseason, or John Michael Schmitz, maybe he competes at right guard. Who knows what they do? So, like, there are options here. I don't think, like, we finally have a sense of stability in the line. It was finally a good line. Let's not blow the whole thing up. I think keeping some sense of structure is in my preference. And that $2.5 million dead money also shouldn't be forgotten. It does end up getting tacked on to the contract of anyone else you do sign. And I'd rather not risk being out, like, you know, not having enough money to pay that guy. Or maybe we cut running and we don't find the best replacement. Like, the market gets hot. There's a big need. Every team's always looking for offensive linemen. We have a solid player there that has a year of chemistry with Andrew Thomas finally. Let's just keep that. It's not a problem. Like, we're just trying to fix something that's not really a problem. I think that's kind of where my opinion ends up landing.
I don't necessarily disagree with that opinion. Like I said, I'm either way on this. If the Giants wanted to move on from John Runyon and attempt to upgrade, I'd be for that. If they wanted to maintain continuity and keep him, I'd also be for that. He could even be an extension candidate with all of that dead money, with all of those cap savings that you could have from releasing him. Instead, you could potentially extend him, take similar cap savings, and hold on to him for an extra year or two to maintain that continuity even further. That's totally possible. But like I said, I think it can go either way. Runyon's a good player, but he's not an irreplaceable player. So if the Giants want to try and replace him, I'd be interested in seeing what the replacement looks like. And again, since they're pretty much blowing up the offensive line anyway with new guards here, new tackle potentially here, I could see them making a big change with John Runyon. We shall see. So one last guy that I want to discuss, Alex, this is a trade candidate here. It's going to be Kayvon Thibodeau. Now, we've mentioned this quite a few times on the channel. It's become a hot topic among Giants fans. If you trade Kayvon Thibodeau on the fifth-year option that he's on, you save $14.75 million in cap space. That's a pretty significant amount. It's a lot of money for a guy who had 2.5 sacks and played in only 11 games last year. He's been hurt every single season of his career outside of 2023, and he's been wildly inconsistent, let's put it that way. But then again, there's the argument, you can't have enough good pass rushers. Look at what the Seattle Seahawks did this past season to win the Super Bowl. Look at what the Philadelphia Eagles did the year before to win the Super Bowl. All of these teams have a surplus of pass rushers, and it helps them win playoff games, and it helps them win championships. The New York Giants know that story all too well, 2007 and 2011. Both of those teams had a surplus of pass rushers. That's the argument for keeping Kayvon Thibodeau. But is Kayvon Thibodeau that difference-making pass rusher that you want to hold in surplus? That's the question. And would you rather have Kayvon Thibodeau or $15 million to spend and reinvest elsewhere? $15 million can get you a starting cornerback and a starting guard, potentially, depending on how you space those contracts out. So there's definitely an argument here to move on from Kayvon Thibodeau via trade. Plus, Giants don't have a third-round pick this year. You could probably get a third-round pick on the trade block for Kayvon Thibodeau. So, Alex, let me hear your take on it. Would you like to see the Giants keep Kayvon Thibodeau? What's your argument for potentially trading him?
Okay, my opinion on this is very black and white. If you can get a day two pick for Kayvon Thibodeau, I'm trading him today. Simple as that. A day two pick, a second or third round pick, I'm trading him today. The Giants don't have enough money to extend him. They will not be extending Kayvon Thibodeau. They have $150 million invested in Brian Burns. They're probably going to have to extend Dexter Lawrence because of his situation. They have another first round pick, you know, fifth overall or third overall invested in Abdul Carter. Kayvon Thibodeau is a surplus, right? Do I want to trade him? Not necessarily. I think it's always important to have really good defensive line edge depth. And he's not going to start next year, though. Like, let's make it very clear. He is your third rotational pass rusher now. He is insurance in case one of your primary guys goes down. And I think that that alone is valuable. But knowing that we're not going to extend him, most likely, unless the Giants were to, like, you know, tag and then trade him or something like that. Like, that might make logistical sense. But from an actual perspective of what is he worth to us today, is a day two pick. If someone gives us a day two pick, I am saying yes. If it's anything less than that, I am fine keeping him for the season and then just being a competitive football team and then tagging and trading him, or tagging him if the money makes sense and keeping him for another year or whatever that might look like. But day two pick, that's my line. Need that. So I wouldn't be surprised if they were listening to offers. I wouldn't be surprised if many teams were considering trying to acquire him, but he is injury prone. Like, I don't think we can dance around that bush anymore. Like, he is injury prone, and he did just miss half the season. And yes, he looked good to start the year, but he wasn't even available for half the season. Like, what does it matter? You know, he would have been out for the whole playoffs. Like, it would have been obsolete. So it's like, what value do you get from a guy that can't stay healthy? A day two pick, I'd say yes. Anything less, I'm saying no.
I think that I agree with that as well. I think he's definitely worth more to the Giants than a day three pick. I don't think the cap savings are worth a day three pick, but a day two pick, definitely considerable. If a team offers a second or a third, I think you take that deal. Plus, like you mentioned there, he had a good start to the season, but he didn't even sustain that success that he had early in the year. His play started to drop off before he got hurt and placed on injured reserve. And then, of course, he did get hurt and placed on injured reserve. So it was a hot start, and he didn't sustain it, and then he got injured. That's kind of been the story of Kayvon Thibodeau throughout the first few seasons of his career. Again, I think there's a pretty strong argument to make to move on from Kayvon and take $15 million in cap savings. That's quite a lot of money, plus getting a day two pick potentially. But anything less than a day two, I wouldn't do it either. Now, Alex, rapid fire here. A couple of guys that the Giants could view as restructure candidates. Number one, Brian Burns, coming off of 16.5 sacks this past season. Restructure him for $15.5 million in cap savings. That one's a no-brainer. Andrew Thomas also was a top five, I would argue, top 10 for sure, tackle in the NFL this past season. You can restructure him for over $11 million in cap savings. I imagine you're cool with restructuring both of those guys, right?
Yeah, both those guys. I'm absolutely happy. I don't really want to restructure guys like Javon Holland. Like, those guys I'd prefer not to touch, or Paulson Adebos of the world. Like, I don't want to touch those contracts. But Andrew Thomas is one of the top five left tackle in football. Like, totally fine restructuring that. He just proved he was healthy the whole year for the most part. And then, of course, you have Brian Burns, who is one of the best pass rushers in football, happily also restructuring his contract as well. So yes, in total agreement with those two guys.
Yes. And then, as you mentioned, Javon Holland and Paulson Adebo are both restructure candidates. Adebo, you can save $8 million restructuring. Holland, you could save nearly $6 million, $5.8 million by restructuring. I also probably wouldn't touch those contracts, but I could see the Giants doing it because they're both young players who figure to be starters for the next several seasons. So they might end up making those moves if they feel like they have to, because they spent a lot on a Linderbaum or somebody else to add to this roster. So keep those guys in the back of your mind. Probably unlikely restructure candidates, but definitely possible restructure candidates. Let's cap off this episode, Alex, with a huge name. Pun intended here, because I'm talking about Big Sexy Dexy. Now, Dexter Lawrence is a guy that I do not think is going anywhere, but you're starting to see chatter from Giants fans online about potentially moving on from Dexter Lawrence. There are a couple things to consider here. Dexter Lawrence has not had a full sack in 22 starts. That's a long time. That's over a full season. He had 0.5 sacks on the entire 2025 campaign. Now, he played hurt. He played someone out of position. Was all of that his fault? Probably not. But there is also the chatter about he gave up. He didn't try. He wasn't playing healthy, and therefore he kind of quit on the team. Is John Harbaugh going to want a guy who potentially did that on his roster? I don't know. So there's a lot to consider here with Dexter Lawrence. But what I really think should be considered, this is a generational nose tackle talent. He has Hall of Fame talent and potential. The Giants have just sucked, and they've wasted Dexter Lawrence's prime years. If he's salty about that, he's got every right to be. And what the Giants need to do is put a good team around him, start winning some football games, and then see him make game-changing plays in the playoffs again, like he did in 2022 versus the Minnesota Vikings. That's what the Giants need to do with Dexter Lawrence, in my opinion. They don't need to trade him. They don't need to extend him either, because there definitely are risks to consider here with his lack of recent production and the injury that he had. But I don't think that Dexter Lawrence is a trade or cut candidate the way that some Giants fans have started to label him on social media. But Alex, I'll let you give your take on it as well. I've seen Giants fans putting out mock trades of getting two late first round picks for Dexter Lawrence and getting all excited. I'll let you give your take on it.
Guys, two late first round picks is essentially second round picks for a generation. Like, dude, we should be getting more than what the Cowboys gave up for Quinnen Williams, right? Which was a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and a player, right? So, like, I think that when you're looking at Dexter Lawrence, he's not too late. He's not worth two late first-round picks. He's worth two top 20 first-round picks and probably another mid-round, like, day two pick. Like, that, this is a really good football player, and people will say he's aging. Dude, he's 28 years old. Like, that's not aging. I just watched 31-year-old Leonard Williams dominate in the Super Bowl. This is what we do as fans. We're so broken at times. Some fans, not everybody. We're so broken that we just, like, we cash out the second that a guy has somewhat of a down year, and then we try to rationalize extreme reactions to things that may have been out of our control. Guys like Shane Bowen was our defensive coordinator. Like, Shane Bowen, right? I know that Dexter Lawrence didn't have a sack last year, but did you know he basically mirrored the exact amount of pressures he had in 2024? You know what I mean? Like I don't really understand. I know, obviously, he played a little bit less in 2024, but you're talking about a guy who was in a horrific offensive system, horrific. He still had some very good performances. I'm not even so concerned about his pass rush. I'm more concerned about the run-stopping metrics that declined. That's more what I'm concerned about. He didn't stop the run at the level that we're used to because I don't think he was using his elbow as much. So he didn't have as much strength. That's the concern that I have when it comes to Dexter Lawrence. Not pass rush-related, more so run-stopping. But you can't give up a guy like that right now. You'd literally be like, that is the definition of selling low. The definition of selling low is trading a guy who's coming off a relatively down season by his own metrics, which is still very, very good, and giving him away for less value than you anticipate he will be worth. Because, you know, he's a year removed from that injury. He has a new coaching scheme. He has a much better defensive coordinator, a much better coaching staff. The discipline's going to be better. The winning profile, the strategy will be better. He will be motivated, right? Because losing does not motivate you. It actually, 4 years of it kind of kills you. He's been suffering. You know, obviously, then there's the contract issue where he wants to get paid his worth, which I totally understand. Like, if you were a player, you'd want the same exact thing. I'm not going to, like, beat him up for wanting to get paid what he's worth in the NFL. That's a reasonable thing to want. Did he not try because of that? That's a different story. We don't know. I'm not going to, like, make up a story because I don't know if he didn't try because of that. It could have been injury related. However, I'm not selling low on a generational defensive tackle right now. Just not going to do it. Anthony, he could probably have a mid-season next year, and you could still trade him for the same value that people want to trade him for right now at the deadline. You know what I mean? Like, just wait until then. If you want to trade him now, just wait till the deadline and see if he sucks. And you could probably get the same exact amount back because some team will identify him as a game wrecker, a playoff team, and they will give you that deal anyway. So just wait. Like, be patient. You don't have to be so, like, volatile and extreme with all of our decisions as Giants fans. We can just be patient and wait for good things to happen instead of giving away all of our best players all the time. You know, let's keep some of our good guys. You know, that's what makes us a good football team, or at least on paper. So don't want to give Dexter Lawrence away. I have no interest in doing so.
I agree with you. I think Dexter Lawrence is still one of the foundational pieces of the New York Giants, and you need to continue to build with him, not trade him away and build without him. Total agreement with you there. And I think I'm in agreement with you on most of the decisions here regarding the Giants cap casualties and different cut candidates and everything else. We went through all of the big ones. If there's anybody that we missed, guys, definitely leave your comments and thoughts on those guys down below in the comment section. But the big ones really being, you know, players like Kayvon, are they going to trade him? Tough decisions on Okereke and Runyon, some easy decisions on James Hudson, Graham Gano, and some others. There's going to be a lot of moves that the Giants make over the course of the next month, and that's why you need to subscribe to Fireside Giants, because we are going to cover every single one of those moves. Every single player that the Giants could, should, or would, or do sign, we will discuss here. Any trades that they make, you'll get instant analysis and reactions. Any cuts that they make, same story there. So make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed, subscribe to the channel if you're new, ring the bell so you don't miss an episode, and comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening to Apple or Spotify, make sure to leave us a 5-star review, and go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, we'll catch you on the next one. Have a good one, and let's go New York Giants. Perfect.